Blog Talk Radio.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are now listening live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial, critical to my very foundation, my being, my walk, my talk, my work, and my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding. That place from where I begin and that place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Sunday, February 21st, 2016, and I am broadcasting with you live, always, and in archive at your convenience. My live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. And when you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to open your mic. I have so many things, as usual, that I want to say, so I'm going to start here. I am going to return to doing at least 1 2-hour broadcast a week. My schedule may not allow for me to do one daily every day, though that will always be my goal, is to sort of return to that level of broadcast here in the Blog Talk Radio forum. But right now I'm going to commit to at least 1 2-hour show a week. And today will not be that show. So today will sort of be an intro to that show, and there are many things that I've written down. I've written down and scripted parts of the story so that I don't lose track of my purpose, of my message, if you will, in the emotion of some of the topics that we will discuss. And some of them will be controversial. One in particular will be Dr. Francis Cresswell, giving honor and thanks to the ancestors, praying that she was embraced and now rest in the bosom of the greats who have left documentation, literature, books, video, plenty of archive that many have already begun to go through with a fine-tooth comb and then tirelessly at the same time. But both of those probably could be said, and I'm going to do a whole 2-hour show on just her legacy and her message. I want to open your consciousness to those of you who know who Dr. Frances Cresswell is, and for many of us, she's been honored, given rightly so a powerful legacy for which many use sort of as a blueprint, if you will, in how to act, how to be, how to grow, how to develop as it relates to Black people. I do think that there's a limitation, and I'm hesitating just a little bit because I don't want to give away my show too early. But I do think with any leader, with any archive, I think it's important that we look at the value, that we look at the legacy, that we look at what's important most important about who they are and who they were, but also some of the politics that come into play. So before I get too ahead of myself, that's one of the topics that I sort of want to get you all sort of thinking about, motivated to come back for more Hoodoo New Orleans Blues secrets and recipes. I also want to, while I'm sort of not so much enumerating, but sharing with you at least some of the ideas that I'm going to speak on, particularly today in this limited 30-minute show that I have, but in the coming two-hour formatted shows that I have coming. For some reason, my Word document disappeared on me. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I closed my Word document. So I'm going to do it top of my head right now. I also want to regroup and address again traditional African religion as it relates to not only us as a people, but how it applies to the world, the environment, the society that we exist in today. I think it's futile, to say the least, to sort of strive to bring ancient cultures and traditions along with its mindset and its philosophy full-bodied into the present and say that we can authentically operate in that in some organized way without considering technology, without considering economics, without considering not just economics as it relates to, you know, can I afford to go to Nigeria? Can I afford to go to Haiti? But also the economics that keep these traditions alive and keep these traditions moving forward in this new technologically advanced, if you will, environment. Some would say that the do itself, the Odu itself, is a technological advancement, gift to us, birth to us, if you will, from the ancient world. So we'll always have our need for and our connection to the ancestors and ancestral worship and all the traditions ideals that come to mind when we have a discussion about ancestors. But we indeed have to continue the tough conversation about authenticity, credibility, initiation, purpose, and the realities of the world that we live in. And for many of us, I know for myself, coming up on 50 this year, the idea of me traveling anywhere worldwide and expending large amounts of money without a clear, defined purpose, the idea of that is almost a non-thought for me. I believe there's so much work that needs to be done here at home. Who is to consider those who are not to be considered, are not to be favored, are not to have skill or education or employment even that would provide them resources to these traditions, save those of us here at home who are committed to the community, who are committed at the grassroots level to making sure that who we are and what we are is not only honored and respected, but accessible to those who would seek spirituality. And I say that particularly because, you know, after mentioning Francis Cress Welsum, there are many directions that people come at consciousness, and it's not always religion, it's not always spirituality. There are various diverse reasons that people come to these traditions. Many of them are anecdotal, many of them are remedy-based, are specific to request. And so the idea of a sort of mass acceptance of the belief systems behind these traditions that have been commercialized to some degree, that have been popularized in another conversation, that have been made accessible now to the world by way of the internet, brings in commercialism, brings in religious or cultural tourism, if you will, and who draws the line? Not to mention where is that line drawn? But we're also seeing sort of an elitism develop in our community around knowledge, around quote-unquote consciousness has its own brand now. Consciousness has its own product line. It has a T-shirt, and it has a coffee mug, and it has a USB drive, you know, with your favorite prophet on it, you know. And so the lines, in terms of even having a conversation about blurring lines and appropriation, brings in a whole nother conversation about law and copyright and trademark. And these conversations are all going on simultaneously all around us at any given moment of the day and night, particularly if we consider the virtual reality of the internet and the speed in which information, photos, videos, and commentary can spread the globe through mainstream news and media outlets, but also through social media. Many of you who've been listening to me for years, you know I don't underestimate the gravity of social media, the power of social media, and its opportunity to not only reach people where they are, but to continue to journey and grow individually and collectively, but also the opportunity for people to be negateful, to be negative, to support, promote, share, propagate propaganda and negative ideas and negative agendas and negative imagery that is indeed not helpful to anyone, to any of us. So for me, forward-looking, forward-thinking, seeing the future, one has to have a vision. And when I see the future, I see people who might not ever leave the country. I see people who might not ever travel to Sokbo, physically travel to Ghana, physically travel to Togo, to Brazil, to Haiti, who are desperately seeking authentic connection to that which we already own and possess. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA. Another great topic that I'm going to cover in the coming month in a two-hour show will be the topic of DNA and its new place and prominence in terms of information, not just who you are, but information in a technologically advanced society. Those of us who have been to Ancestry.com, who've taken the test, or maybe you haven't taken the test, but you know it's more than just who your people is. It's a social network unto itself, one of which many are sort of consumed day and night with that information and the relevance of that information. So it takes on almost a religious connotation of its own. And Eric Kofado, so I see you. I'm going to open your line. Just give me a quick second. So in the coming show, I'm going to talk about that as it relates to our romance, if you will, with Orisha, Lowa, traditional indigenous-based religious practices. I'm going to the phone lines now. So, Eric 0504, I'm opening your line. Yes. Peace and love.
Yes, sir. This is Trolando. This is Trolando. I'm calling from Louisiana.
Well, thanks for being local and thanks for being with us. Did you have a question or comment today?
Yes, sir. I was in at the age of 34. Everything happened at 33. I raised my Merkaba. I came outside. I looked at a star and it shook and it disappeared. And my Merkaba, a UFO, was hovering. As I walked, it walked. When I stopped, it stopped. I sent a lot of energy. When I walked from one end of the complex to the other end of the complex to that complex, I left that complex 2 weeks later, and they came and bulldozed the whole complex down. And it was on the news. And they said it was mold found in there. What I was trying to see exactly, I mean, I've been able to see beyond the veil, see spirits and things of that nature. I'm trying to get up into my initiation systems. What do I need to be dabbing off into? I need to be dealing with? Is the Palomiyombe or the Shango or which system? You see, I'm trying to get a blueprint or a guideline.
Okay, I think that's a great question. I'm going to mute you while I answer your question because you have a lot of background. I don't know what that is. And you know, we're always being watched and monitored and paid attention to. But that's exactly one of the areas that I wanted to talk about today and wanted to go into is how do we find our path? How do we connect with our angels, some people say, which are completely different from our Orisha and our Loa, and we'll do a show about that. But how do we find our path in an environment where we may not make it to a trip to another country in order to partake in an ancestral tradition? And when I was in prayer and meditation about this very question that the brother has just offered us, I heard Olodumare, God, the great God, Grand, however you choose to call the creator, speak to me directly and ask, at what point this, once we enter the waters, and when I speak of the waters, I'm speaking of the mid-Atlantic, transatlantic passage. I'm speaking of our entry into colonization and enslavement, both literally and symbolically. He began to ask that question, where is the border? At what point did he cease to exist? And the answer lies within our DNA. I think it's a controversial issue. I think it's a yet untapped issue in this journey of discovery. Many of us have a sort of a romantic, symbolic, ethereal connection to a particular culture or a particular deity, a particular science, if you will, that we feel drawn to. And every day when I'm doing consultations and divination, particularly in the French Quarter, often the request is past life requests. And there's a desire across the world for many ethnic groups, for many races of people to understand who they are, where they come from, and how that connects to the present and how we move forward in the present. So, beloved, to answer your question more directly, I think the DNA is critical to the journey. Reading books, studying, even initiating, even learning other cultures and traditions, other science, that's a critical part to study. That's a necessary part to study. We all are going to do that. We all should do that. Each of us has our different degree, our different level of accomplishment in terms of doing our homework, if you will. But there was a point where I reached a perimeter. There was a point where I reached a pause, where I had to ask myself, how connected was I to the material that I was digesting, to the new languages that I was beginning to learn, to the new traditions that I was beginning to become acclimated into, often who had leaders, teachers, had an accent or lived in a far, far away place or had some symbolic hurdle that I needed to jump in between myself and connecting with them directly, often a team of people to connect with directly in order to reach the source. And technology has lessened that interference. So we're now overwhelmed with a plethora of information, and we have to still be discerning of the information. A great deal of the information is now driven by ego, by fame, by infamy. And so there's a taint to some of what's being broadcast, to some of what's being posted, to some of the messages that's about celebrity, that's about branding, that's about business. And as a business person, I understand that totally. But I think for the viewer, for the person who's the seeker, even might be a better term, the seeker and the viewer, because I can see them as being two totally different positions. They're those who are just viewing, and you're taking in a whole lot of information. You're taking in a whole lot of audio and visual and data, particularly those of us who are internet savvy, and who are on Facebook and who are Google searching, researching topics, cultures, theories, ideas. But then there's the seeker who's seeking something that's not only life-affirming, but life-changing. And as I said earlier in the show, there's that, you know, I need love in my life, or I need Monica, or I need career promotion, or some very individual thing that we often use as an entryway into wanting access to these otherwise sacred ancient traditions. And there are reasons of security. There are reasons of people gaining access to things they aren't ready for, they aren't prepared for why many of these traditions are still masked in mystery, if you will. But the seeker and the person, the source that provides information, that provides knowledge, whether it be through social media, the internet, the traveling philosopher, the traveling teacher who connects communally with the community and can touch your hand and feel your face. The fact of the matter is the world is getting smaller as it relates to the availability of this information and our access to it. So another topic that I would like to cover, and I'm quickly running out of time, in coming show in a longer 2-hour show, is sort of a phrase that I've coined, the soul lock. There will come a time when you can't protect, guard, keep a cap on knowledge, information, once it's leaked, once it's available on the internet, once all the science is archived and recorded digitally, and whatever yet to be discovered technology that we still may not know of yet to speak. So then what protects sacred knowledge, sacred information, sacred teachings from, and that happens at the soul level. And that begins an introduction into another topic I wanted to discuss before I run out of time, is crystals and the use of crystal and the growing popularity in the usage of crystal. One of my preferences for crystal that I'm going to share in a little bit of time that I have left here is for security. No matter what we're dealing with, what spirit, what gin, what illness, what imbalance, what irregularity, and that might not always even be clear to us scientifically or mathematically or biologically. But there's something divinely embedded in crystal, the science of crystal, still, I think, yet fully undiscovered to man. Not only have we not regained lost science, you know, how did they build the pyramids and why did the Mayans have such an obsession over crystal skulls and what were they used for and why? We haven't regained access to that information yet. And I think that there's a soul lock at work in preventing us access to information that would readily destroy us again. Often when we look at stories about Lemuria, Mur, Atlantis, we these fabled cities, these legendary cultures, these in some people's estimation, ancient cities that are just lost to documentation or lost to time, if you will, but an ongoing theme in relation to those stories is destruction by way of self-knowledge, destroying their civilization with a crystal or ego stories or fables that speak about ego running amok, we losing our God center, becoming more flesh-oriented, more carnally oriented. And we see that actively at work in modern times by way of the internet. When we talk about the selfie, when we talk about self-promotion, so a great deal of information that is circulated today is circulated because it's popular, or because it will get a lot of likes, or because it's salacious and it'll get a lot of attention. So at the soul lock level, spirit knows, the divine creator knows, the deepest of our thoughts, our intentions, our dreams, and our reality. And there's a place that we, as gods, must go purely, authentically, within ourselves, along our journeys, individually and collectively, where we sort of purify and work out intent versus manifestation and demonstration. You know, what is our ultimate intent? What is our ultimate purpose? What is our ultimate goal? Are we just seeking an answer, a temporary answer, a temporary fix? Or are we really committed to the messages that many of us, just like our caller, are beginning to receive from the astral realm? Because they're coming from various places. And I think they're coming from various places because we, as a planet, are in desperate need of of preventing an implosion. We are in desperate need of bringing some balance again to nature, but also to consciousness. Because that which we can conceive consciously ultimately becomes our reality. And we are now open to a vortex of energy, information, imagery that is pressing us to evolve at an accelerated rate. So that evolution has been voodoo, has been crystal, has been the fa or ifa. Voodoo is the honor, the worship, with the operation of working with the spirits as we know them, as we were gifted them ancestrally, and now doing them in a sort of a new world environment, new world context, but also crystal, which for me, my journey with crystal began in my study of Kemet. In ancient Egypt, I wanted to understand not just the pyramids and the science behind the pyramids, but why so much of it, what we know about them, what remains of them, is gemstone. Stone has a vibratory rate, has a science, has a mass that's uncorruptible. that's not corruptible by sand, by time, by wind. But because it is math, because it is science, because it is spirit. So that soul lock prevents us from doing harm to ourselves and to others. It is that soul lock that creates sort of the illusion that miracles don't happen. And many of us see miracles every day, and many of us are active participants of miraculous pronunciations, miraculous events, miraculous manifestations and demonstrations every single day. So unfortunately, I've run out of time, and I am going to have to close, but I thank my caller, especially my local Louisiana 504. Please join us again. You have a lot to share, and you have a lot to say. And I, as well as the audience, would like to hear more from you in coming shows. And I would also like to thank all of my listeners, both here in the Blog Talk Radio forum, but also those in the social media forums who are listening by way of archive. I appreciate your continued support. I have a few days of work on paper, organized, ready to go. I should be present tomorrow at noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. I may very well do my two-hour show on tomorrow. So I invite you all to join me again here live for more hoodoo, New Orleans voodoo secrets and recipes here on Blog Talk Radio with Divine Prince, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Congo Square. The Omis Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omis Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Omis Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Le Place de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment. But nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life. Which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang. We beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us, our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat, beating of black heart drums. Heart beat, at this place, we beating place in new world space, beating being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be bambula dance, be banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate, whip out of us.
Whoa!
But no matter. No matter how much of us they prohibit. No matter how much of us they prohibit. Deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning, a sun day, a feel without shade, but dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat.